Good morning. It is great to be here. Thank you for having me here. And I know that this church right now is in a series of reading about and studying the prophets. And for the next 3 weeks, I am going to share with you the story of the prophet who I think, this is just my opinion, I think he is the most fascinating figure in Scripture outside of Jesus. He is a man who stood toe-to-toe with great injustice, a man who overthrew an entire government. He's a man who called down fire from heaven. He's a man who, you might not know this, he tucked his cloak into his belt and ran faster than any man has ever run in the history of the world. It's not in the Guinness Book of World Records, but it is in the Bible. He's a man who is only in three chapters of the Bible, but he made such an impact that people thought that Jesus was him incarnate. He made such an impact that he was at the transfiguration with Moses. This man represented all the prophets that this church is studying. And yet, with all, he's a man who we're going to see in a couple of weeks suffered from depression, even to the point of having suicidal thoughts. And so he's a man we can relate to, and he's a man who I demanded that my son be named after, because I want him to know that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how high or how low, through every victory and through every devastation, you can always tell that story. And in the midst of that story, you can say this sentence: then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to Elizabeth. Then the word of the Lord came to Mike. Then the word of the Lord came to Alan. You can always say, no matter what story you're telling about your life, then the word of the Lord came. It's a passage that shows up first in 1 Kings 17:2. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. That's a scripture that Casey and I have framed in Elijah's bedroom. It's important when I tell you about the story of Elijah that I don't start with Elijah. It's important that I start before Elijah. In 1 Kings, there is this long just thread of terribleness before Elijah shows up. So I'm going to go way back from before Elijah shows up. I'm going to tell you about a man named Jeroboam. Jeroboam was the king of Israel for a time. He is a king that all other kings for a long time are compared with because of his evilness. And so people would say he's as bad as Jeroboam, or he's worse than Jeroboam, or he's not as bad as Jeroboam, because Jeroboam was a bad, bad guy. Some things that Jeroboam did: he made calves for people to worship. There's this long kind of process that you have to go through to consecrate a priest. In the Old Testament, a priest has to come from a certain lineage and has to go through some things to be called a priest. And Jeroboam said, no, anybody want to be a priest? Come on. Come on if you want to be a priest. So he just started naming, you can be a priest, you can be a priest. He was just a terrible guy. In fact, the Bible says this. The Bible says, you have done more evil than all who lived before you. In other words, Jeroboam, up to this point, was the worst human being who ever lived. Well, then Jeroboam had a son who took over for him. Oh, before that, Israel was split into two kingdoms at this time. So there was Israel and there was Judah. Well, Judah wasn't much better off. Rehoboam was the king of Judah, and Judah did evil in the eyes of the Lord. By the sins they committed, they stirred up his jealous anger more than those who were before them had done. Jeroboam had a son named Abijah. And the Bible says he committed all the sins his father had done before him. So Abijah is not the worst man that ever lived. He's tied. He's tied with his dad for the worst man that ever lived. After Abijah, his son took over. Abijah's son was Nadab. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the ways of his father and committing the same sin his father had caused Israel to commit. So now we've got a three-way tie. Well, eventually Israel was tired of this family line. And so a man named Baasha, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing these names right. I have a personal policy that if Microsoft puts a red squiggly line under it, then I don't have to know how to pronounce it, okay? But this man named Baasha shows up and kills Nadab so that there would be a new group of kings. And so Baasha is now the king, and he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the ways of Jeroboam and committing the same sin Jeroboam had caused Israel to commit. So now it's going to get interesting because it's no longer a family line. And we have this man named Elah. Elah reigned 2 years. Zimri, one of his officials, who had command of half his chariots, plotted against him. Elah was in Tirzah at the time, getting drunk in the home of Arza, the palace administrator at Tirzah. Probably pronouncing all that wrong. That's okay, though. Zimri came in, struck him down, and killed him. Then he succeeded him as king. Now, Zimri's going to be the next king. He had a great run. Here's what the Bible says about Zimri. He reigned 7 days. Because when the Israelites in the camp heard that Zimri had plotted against the king and murdered him, they proclaimed Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel, that very day there in the camp. And so the people of Israel said, wait a minute, no, you can't just kill the king and decide to be king. So no, you're not king. Well, then Zimri decided, well, good grief, this is embarrassing. And so he set the palace on fire with himself inside of it. So he committed suicide. And here's what the Bible says about that. So he died because of the sins he had committed, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord and following the ways of Jeroboam and committing the same sin Jeroboam had caused Israel to commit. So now we're going to have this man named Omri, who Israel said, no, you're not our king, Zimri. Omri's our king. And here's what the Bible says about Omri. But Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and sinned more than all those before him. So he's the first one that beats Jeroboam. Congratulations, Omri. You are now the worst person that ever walked the face of the earth. According to the Bible, Omri sinned more than all those before him. He followed completely the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, committing the same sin Jeroboam had caused Israel to commit, so that they aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, by their worthless idols. Omri had a son named Ahab. Might be the first name that some of us recognize. Here's what the Bible says about Omri's son Ahab. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So according to the Bible, Ahab is the worst man that ever lived. He not only considered it trivial to commit the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. He set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. As much as I demanded that my son be named Elijah, I would demand even more. Do what? Oh, sorry. I would demand even more that he not be named Ahab and that my daughter not be named Jezebel. So here's where Elijah comes in. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. This is where the Bible first mentions Elijah. Elijah shows up at a time that the Bible describes as the worst time in all of creation, under the rule of the worst man that ever lived. And the Bible introduces him by saying he walked right up to Ahab. He walked toe-to-toe to Ahab, and he said, as the Lord, the God of Israel lives. He had to introduce God to Ahab. He had to say, the God of, you know, Israel, the land that you're the king of, as sure as he lives, whom I serve. Elijah literally means, the name Elijah literally means, I serve the Lord. So he basically introduced himself, I'm Elijah. And you know this land that you're the king of, the God of that land, as surely as he lives, as surely as I serve him, it's not going to rain here until I say so. And then the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Have you ever been in a moment of great trial? A moment where you should be fearful. A moment where if you were going to tell this story, the next sentence would probably likely be, and then my life was over. Because that's where Elijah is here. Elijah just walked toe-to-toe to the leader of ISIS and said, as surely as God lives, as surely as Jesus is Lord, your life is about to be pretty bad because I said so. And then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And that appears three times in the story I'm going to tell today. This is the first time. And every single time we have this following it, right up the very next sentence says, leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine. This is what God said. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. And then the very next phrase is, so he did what the Lord had told him. Three times God's going to come to Elijah, and the word of the Lord will speak to Elijah. And all three times the Bible says, so Elijah did what God had told him to do. Here Elijah says, run away. Get out of here. Go hide, Elijah, because what you just did is kind of crazy. So go hide, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to have ravens feed you. I don't know what the ravens were feeding him, probably not pot roast. But Elijah did what God had told him. And the word of the Lord gives us help, provision, and guidance. Have you ever experienced the word of the Lord during a devastating time? Sometimes we think when we're going through trial, when we're going through devastation, when there's a lot of noise in our lives, we think to ourselves, I've got to get somewhere quiet so that I can hear from God. I've got to get somewhere calm. I've got to get somewhere organized so that I can hear from God. And there is something to be said. Jesus said that we should pray in our closet. There is something to be said for shutting the noise off. But the word of the Lord comes to us when we need help and provision. The word of the Lord comes to us in times of great devastation. Some might be in a devastating time right now and need the word of the Lord. And I believe, according to the Bible, that God comes during those devastating times. So then, after this, sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Has the word of the Lord ever come to you and given you help and provision and guidance, and then that seemed to dry up over time? That's what happened here. The word of the Lord ran out. The provision that God had given Elijah, it ran out. And the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to him. This is the second time. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And this time, it said, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. And once again, so he went to Zarephath. This time, we can't really congratulate Elijah for that. He was going to die if he stayed there. He had no choice. But still, he did what God told him to. The word of the Lord came to him, and Elijah went to Zarephath. And the word of the Lord sustains itself. When God speaks into our lives, and that speaking seems to dry up, God always speaks again. If God has called you into a career and that has seemed to dry up, God will sustain you and take care of you again. If God calls you out of deep depression and that seems to dry up and you start to fall back into deep depression, God will call you out of depression. The word of the Lord sustains itself. In fact, the very story, the reason we're here this morning, is to celebrate the fact that the word of the Lord sustains itself. When God created us and we fell away from God, the word of the Lord sent Jesus. And when Jesus died and all of Jesus' followers deserted him because they thought they'd wasted years of their lives, the word of the Lord resurrected Jesus. And when we're in temptation, and the word of the Lord calls us out of temptation, and we fall back in temptation, the word of the Lord will call us out of temptation again, because the word of the Lord sustains itself. And the Bible says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so Elijah, this isn't in the slides, but Elijah went to see this widow. And it's this amazing story that I'll tell in just a couple of seconds. So he goes to see this widow, and he says, hey, can you bring me some water? And the widow says, sure. And he says, please bring me some bread too. And the widow says, listen, as surely as the Lord lives whom you serve. So she knew who Elijah was. Because God had told her, as the Bible says, I've directed a widow to take care of you. She says, as surely as the Lord lives whom you serve, I don't have food to give you. I have just enough to give my son and myself one last meal. And I was doing that. I was gathering sticks now so that I could give us one last meal, and then we were going to die together. And Elijah says, well, go ahead and do that, but give me some too, and I promise you that your food supply will not run out. And so she did that. And she fed Elijah, she fed her son, she fed herself, and her food supply did not run out. This miracle happened where her food supply kept resustaining itself. And then one day while Elijah was living there with her, her son died. And Elijah went upstairs and laid his body over her son and cried out to God, said, God, why have you brought this calamity upon this widow? Please, God, please give this boy life again. And the Bible says he did that three times, and the third time the boy was alive. Okay, so then after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah again. So this is 3 years since Elijah had first talked to Ahab. For 3 years, there had been no rain in Israel. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah again and said, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. In the midst of a terrible situation, Elijah had the boldness to confront it. And in the name of the Lord, the word of the Lord came. The same word that earlier had provided Elijah a hiding place now is providing Elijah boldness. Now he's saying, go present yourself to Ahab. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Here's what Ahab is doing at this time. Ahab has this person right under him named Obadiah. And he had just told Obadiah, hey, we have no water to give our cattle. We have no grass to give our cattle because this whole land is in a drought. So let's look for some. Let's see if there's some just that we've missed. So I'm going to go this way, you go that way, and let's look for some place to feed our cattle and give them grass and water so we don't have to kill any of them. And so that's what Obadiah is doing at this time. And as Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Now Obadiah at this time is in no mood to do the work of God. We're going to find out Obadiah has done the work of God in the past, but at this point, he's in no mood to do the work of God. He's walking along, the Bible says. As he's walking along, minding his own business, working for the King Ahab, then Elijah met him. That happens to us sometimes. When we're just doing our job, trying to get something done, somebody will come into our path that we have to talk to and pray with. I think of it like fire drills because I'm an algebra teacher. I hate fire drills because I'm teaching my class. I'm trying to get, and when there's a fire drill, it just sets the whole schedule off for the stupid fire drill. That's what's happening to Obadiah here. Obadiah was a good guy. The Bible says that Obadiah was a man of God. Ahab did not know that Obadiah was a man of God, so that when Ahab was killing all the God followers, Obadiah had taken 100 of them and hid them in a cave so that Ahab couldn't find them. So Obadiah was a man of God, but at this time, Obadiah was not interested at all in doing the work of God. And so Elijah came to Obadiah and said, hey, go find Ahab. I'm going to present myself to Ahab today. And Obadiah says this, what have I done wrong that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord, your God lives. At this point, he doesn't say, as surely as my God lives. He says, Elijah, as surely as your God lives, there's not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed that you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here. I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. So this man of God at this point says, Elijah, as surely as your God lives, Ahab will kill me if I go tell him that you're here. And he's not done yet. He says, yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here. He will kill me. So here he gives his resume. He says, look, I have put in my time for God. I did it in secret. I did it in secret, which I'm fine with that. I've put in my time for God, but now you want me to do this? He will kill me. Contrast that with Elijah's response that we looked at earlier. After a long time in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The word of the Lord makes us bold. Maybe not always bold in a sense of outward boldness that the whole world sees. Most of us probably are not going to confront an evil, terroristic king. Maybe boldness in terms of befriending somebody that most people aren't friends with because the word of the Lord said so. Or maybe boldness as far as standing up for what's right in your workplace. Maybe boldness to eliminate a sin from your life. Maybe boldness to reconcile a relationship. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So do you need to act boldly now? Because Elijah said to Obadiah, here was his response, as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I will present myself to Ahab today. Elijah here trumped 2 slides worth of excuses from Obadiah with 1 short sentence. Elijah introduced his God to Obadiah just like he had introduced his God to Ahab. He says, as surely as the Lord God lives whom I serve. And that one phrase trumped 2 slides worth of excuses. And when we have all kinds of excuses to not be bold, one phrase can trump that. The word of the Lord whom I serve spoke to me. So Elijah said, I will present myself to Ahab today. I want to lead into next week now with this slide. This is kind of a preview for next week. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. When he saw Elijah, he said to him, is that you, you troubler of Israel? Because this is a whole sermon that I'm not going to preach during this series, but sometimes when we act out in boldness, out of a response of the word of the Lord, bad things will happen and people will say it's our fault. So Ahab said, is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. That leads us into next week. Let's pray. God, thank you for having us here this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word that comes in times of devastation, your word that comes in times of emptiness. God, thank you for your word that comes in times that we need to act out in boldness. And God, help us to hear your word. Help us to be able to tell our story and at any point in our story be able to say, then the word of the Lord came. God, help us to hear you this week. Help us to hear you in our devastation, in our emptiness. And God, help us to hear you calling us to step out in boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.